ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु मित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर 10। भागवतम इज द आंसर टू ऑल क्वेश्चंस। टेक्स्ट 6। निरोधा असानुशयनम् आत्मनः सह शक्तिभिः मुक्तिर् हितान्नथारूपम् स्वरूपेण व्यवस्थितिः। निरोधस्यानुशयनम् निरोधस्यानुशयनम् आत्मना सह शक्तिभिः मुक्तिर्हितान्नथा रूपम् स्वरूपेण व्यवस्थितिः। निरोधस्यानुशयनम् आत्मना सह शक्तिभिः मुक्तिर्हित्यान्नथा रूपम् स्वरूपेण व्यवस्थितिः। निरोधस्यानुशयनम् आत्मना सह शक्तिभिः मुक्तिर्हित्यान्नथा रूपम् स्वरूपेण व्यवस्थितिः। You have memorized. Okay, Sadhan Siddhi.
Niradasha anushayanam
Niradasha anushayanam
Atmanah saha shakti
Atmanah saha shakti
Muktirhitva anathā rupam
Matajis. Nirodha, the winding up of the cosmic manifestation, asya, of his, anushayanam, the lying down of the Purusha incarnation, Mahavishnu, in mystic slumber, Atmanah, of the living entities, Saha, along with Shaktibhi, with the energies, Mukti, liberation, Hitva, giving up, Annatha, otherwise, Rupam, form, Swarupena, in conditional form, in constitutional form, Vyavasthitihi, permanent situation. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The merging of the living entity along with his conditional living tendency, with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu, is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material body. Please repeat after me. The merging of the living entity, along with his conditional living tendency, with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu, is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable gross and the subtle bodies, and the subtle material bodies. Okay, so what is the meaning of this verse? How many of you can say?
This world is full of materialism. It is the conceptual essence that you have to find it out.
Okay. Radha Govinda?
The tendency of the living entities to be in this world, even after the annihilation.
No. Don't speculate. Parul?
Nirodha means divine.
Very good.
Creation left in Mahavishnu, and Mukti means the situation of living entities after freeing from material form.
And becoming situated in his?
In the constitution.
Constitutional form. Very good. So what are we dealing with here? Nirodha and Mukti. Previously, in the previous three verses, third, fourth, fifth, what did we discuss? Out of the ten characteristics of? Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam deals with ten characteristics. Who remembers those ten characteristics? Okay, Shitanath, what are those ten characteristics? English. Okay, Sarga, Visarga, but explain after one. Sarga, Visarga, Poshanam, Then? Okay. Secondary creation. Okay, sub-creation. Poshanam. Sthanam. Sthanam. Okay, but in later on, sthanam has been described. Yesterday, I think we discussed sthanam. What is the description of sthanam according to that? Yes, abiding by the law of the Lord. Then sthanam, poshanam. Now poshanam is okay. What is the meaning of poshanam in that sense? When one abide by the law of the Lord, then what happens? The Lord gives the protection. And as a result of that protection, one becomes free from all anxiety. Vaikuntha Vijayam is? Okay, then, okay, go ahead. Poshanam, then Utaya. Utaya is what? Impetus to work. Utaya. And then Manvantar. What is the meaning of changing the manu? What do the manus do? Yeah, but then yesterday what did we discuss? The manu is dharma, sadharma. Manvantarani, sadharma. And then, when you raise your hand, you have to think twice. Then, after manvantar, then ishanukatha. That we discussed yesterday, yeah, ishanukatha. And then, after ishanukatha, nirodha. So now we have come to nirodha. What is nirodha? Nirodha is winding up of the creation. So when is the creation wound up? When all the living entities with their it says Shashakti, conditional living tendency. When all the living entities along with their conditional living tendency is merged with the mystic lying down of Mahavishnu, Ashanu Shayanam, Anushayanam, Asa Anushayanam, lying down of the Purusha incarnation Mahavishnu in the mystic slumber. Mystic slumber is Yoga Nidra. So that is called Nirodha. Very good. After Nirodha is what? Mukti. Okay, so Mukti means what? Parul, you are saying it. What is the meaning of Mukti? Mukti, do you remember this line? What is the description of Mukti? Yes. Not Jatha Rupam. Muktir Hittan Nath Annatha Rupam. Muktir Hitya. Jatha Rupam means the same roop. And Annatha Rup means different form. Muktir Hitvan Natha Rupam Swarupena Vyavasthiti. To become situated in his Swarupa. Here the description is that giving up the gross and subtle body, when the living entity becomes situated in his spiritual body, that is called Mukti. But actually taking the cue from Swarup, the word Swarup, if we consult with Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we get another very clearer understanding of Mukti. What is that description? Jiver Swarup hai Krishner Nityadash. What is the swarup of a living entity? is to become the servant, eternal servant of Krishna. The spirit soul, a living entity in a spiritual identity, a living entity when he is in free from, when he is free from material, gross and subtle bodies, he is in a spiritual identity, he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So that is the meaning of mukti. So when one becomes situated, when one becomes engaged in eternal service of Krishna, then what happens to him? He is liberated. So if you become a servant of Krishna, then what will happen to you? Did you become servants of Krishna? Trying to. Okay, good. So, you're almost liberated. Sushila, why are you sitting outside? Hari Bol. Why are you sitting outside? It's colder there? Or warmer there? Come inside. There's plenty of room there. Okay, so this verse is describing Nirodha and Mukti. Did everybody understand? Everyone understood? Kevin, did you understand? What did you understand?
I understood that the constitutional position.
No, before that, what is, in this verse, what is that describing?
Winding up.
Yeah, when is the word creation wound up? And what happens then? Yeah.
Go back into the form Maharaj.
How, what is Mahavishnu doing?
He's in the mystic slum of yoga.
Okay. When the living entity is with their conditional tendencies merge in in the body of Mahavishnu who is lying in the causal ocean, that is called Nirodha. Then what happens? We discussed many times before, what is the cause of creation? Prakriti has two aspects, vyakta and avyakta, manifest and unmanifest. So when the Prakriti becomes manifest, when does the Prakriti become manifest? Anybody? When does the Prakriti become manifest?
When Lord glances.
When the Lord glances towards the material nature, Prakriti. What happens due to his glance? Living entities come into the womb of the, come to the material nature. Not Mahatattva, material nature. Then the material nature becomes manifest. When does the material nature become manifest? When the living entities come to the material nature. And when the living entities are withdrawn from the material nature, then what happens? The nature becomes, Prakriti becomes avyakta, unmanifest. So manifest and unmanifest nature, state of the material nature. And individually, when does a living entity become liberated? That's a very, in relation to this, it becomes very clear. If the living entity goes back to Mahavishnu, is he liberated? Is he liberated?
No.
Right. Why? Because he is going back to Mahavishnu with his conditional tendencies. Along with his conditional tendencies, he is going back. Conditional living. He is falling as he is sleeping. He is sleeping at that stage. And when he'll wake up, what will happen to him? He'll again start with his material nonsense. So where is he liberated? That's not liberation. Merging in the body of Mahavishnu, therefore, is not liberation. But what is the real liberation? To become situated in one's constitutional position. Constitutional position means spiritual position. And what is one's spiritual position? In his constitutional spiritual position, he is an eternal servant of Krishna. Jiver Sharup hoy, Krishner Nityadas. Nityadas means eternal. Nitya means eternal. Das means servant. Purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Okay, let me see how many of you memorized this verse today. Okay, very good. What about the others? Will you memorize it tomorrow? Sure? Did you memorize the verse from yesterday? How many of you memorized the verse from yesterday? Very good. Very good. What happened to Jamuna? I thought you told me that you'll memorize it. No? The previous one. Okay. Okay, let's hear Jamuna recite the previous verse. Yeah. What is the secret of memorizing? The first word of the verse. Do you remember? Who remembers the first word of the fourth verse? Monica? Fourth verse. Okay, very good. Now you got it? Say it. Very good. Thank you. So, isn't it nice to memorize the verses? Each time you memorize a verse, we'll give you a clap. Okay. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As we have discussed several times, there are two types of living entities. Most of them are ever liberated or nitya muktas, while some of them are ever conditioned. The ever conditioned souls are apt to develop a mentality of lording over the material nature. And therefore the material cosmic creation is manifested to give the ever conditioned soul two kinds of facilities. One facility is that the conditioned soul can act according to his tendency to lord it over the cosmic manifestation, and the other facility gives the conditioned soul a chance to come back to Godhead. So after the winding up of the cosmic manifestation, most of the conditioned souls merge into the existence of the Mahavishnu personality of Godhead, lying in his mystic slumber, to be created again in the next creation. But some of the conditioned souls who follow the transcendental sound in the form of Vedic literatures and are thus able to go back to Godhead, attain spiritual and original bodies after quitting the conditional, gross and subtle material bodies. The material conditional bodies develop out of the living entity's forgetfulness of their relationship with God. And during the course of the cosmic manifestation, the conditioned souls are given a chance to revive their original status of life with the help of revealed scriptures, so mercifully compiled by the Lord in His different incarnations. Reading or hearing of such transcendental literatures help one become liberated even in the conditional state of material existence. All the Vedic literatures aim at devotional service to the personality of Godhead. And as soon as one is fixed upon this point, he at once becomes liberated from conditional life. The material, gross and subtle forms are simply due to the conditioned soul's ignorance, and as soon as he is fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes eligible to be freed from the conditioned state. This devotional service is transcendental attraction for the Supreme on account of his being the source of all pleasing humors. Everyone is after some pleasure of humor for enjoyment, but does not know the Supreme source of all attraction, raso vaisa rasam hi abhyam evayam labdha anandi bhavati. The Vedic hymns inform everyone about the supreme source of all pleasures. The unlimited fountainhead of all pleasure is the personality of Godhead. And one who is fortunate enough to get this information through transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam becomes permanently liberated to occupy this proper place in the kingdom, his proper place in the kingdom of God. So, Nirodho Ashanu Shayanam Atmana Sahashaktibhi Muktir Hittannatha Rupam Swarupena Vyavasthiti. The merging of the living entity along with his conditional living tendency with the mystic lying down of Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material bodies. The changeable, subtle and gross material bodies. These two bodies, material bodies, are changeable, whereas the spiritual bodies are permanent. It's always the same. We may lose the body. Lose the body in the sense, what happens when you become conditioned by the material nature? What happens? What happens to the spiritual body then? What happens to the spiritual body? Lose. The spiritual body, it's covered, but then again, does the spiritual body remain? No. What happens to the spiritual body? It shrinks into just a speck of spiritual spark. And then, the spiritual spark develops a subtle body made of, what is the subtle body consisting of? Mind, intelligence and false ego. That is a subtle body. There is a body made of mind, made of intelligence and false ego. It's a body. And the soul is inside that body. And that body develops a gross body. Not develops by itself, nature gives him a gross body. According to his subtle body, he gets a gross body. Now both these bodies are changing. The gross body is changing, the subtle body is changing. We see the change of the gross body, how the gross body changes from one tiny little body, tiny little embryo, then it takes the full bodied shape after birth, and then the body changes from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age. It changes. And then, at some point, gives up the whole body. One gives up the body, and what do you call that? Giving up the body, giving up of the body, gross body, is called death. What is death? Death is leaving the gross body, the soul leaving the gross body. And then what happens to the soul? It leaves the gross body. What happens to the subtle body? The subtle body remains. Subtle body doesn't die. The subtle body carries the soul to the next body according to its shape, according to the shape of the subtle body. How does the subtle body take its shape? According to? Very good. According to the activities we do in our life. If you act like an angel, what kind of subtle body you'll get? You'll get a subtle body of an angel. The subtle body will take the shape of an angel's. Because your activities will form. But if you act otherwise, you'll have a body otherwise. So therefore, be careful how you act. always try to act like a... Well, I would say always try to act like a devotee. Then what will happen to your subtle body? Okay, let's go into that. If you act like an angel, then what will happen? You'll get an angel's body. That body is, angel's body also is material. So you'll have to come back to the material nature in an angel's body. Again, birth, death, old age and disease. But then if you don't come across a devotee, then what will happen? Will you know about Krishna consciousness? No. Now, let us consider what actually happens according to our actions. As you act accordingly, those actions leave their imprints in your mind or memory or subtle body. When you act very nicely, how do you feel? When you did something very good? Yeah, you feel good. And when you feel good, what happens? You feel elated, you feel light. You feel as if you are dancing inside. Right? But if you do something wrong, when you do something bad, then what happens? No one saw you doing it. But how do you feel?
Feel guilty inside.
Very good. Feel guilty inside. And when you feel guilty inside, what happens? You feel heavy. You feel heavy. So in this way, every action actually leaves an imprint in your subtle body. And as a result of that, your subtle body takes the shape. That's what I was saying. Like, if somebody has been acting like an angel all his life, then what will happen? His subtle body will take the shape of an angel's subtle body. And if somebody acts like a pig, then what kind of subtle body? What will happen to his subtle body? His subtle body will take the shape of a nice little pig. Right? And then when he leaves this body, human body, then what will happen? Material nature will say, well, you've got a nice little pig body. So now you go into the womb of a pig. And there, in the womb of the mother pig, you'll develop a nice little pig body. And then you'll come out and get a nice little pig body, and that body will go through childhood, youth, old age, and then he will die again. So in this way, the living entities transmigrate from one body to another body in this material nature. So we may leave our gross body, but we cannot leave our subtle body. Subtle body remains. Just as in death, we give up the gross body and go away. We can't give up our subtle body like that. Then what's going to happen? What are you going to do with our subtle body? Subtle body is binding us down to this material nature. Now, if you want to get rid of the subtle body, what do we have to do?
Purify.
How do you purify your subtle body? Okay, Parul?
By transforming the subtle body into spiritual body. That
very good. How do you do that?
By always remembering Krishna and
let's take step by step. What do you do with your mind?
Always remember about Krishna.
Okay. So Krishna is saying, man mana bhavo. With your mind you think of me all the time. So when you think of Krishna all the time,
Krishna will give buddhi yoga to intelligence.
No, what happens to the mind?
Mind will transform.
Transformed into?
Spiritual.
It becomes spiritualized. Okay, then? With your mind, you have been always thinking about Krishna. Your mind becomes spiritualized. Then what about your intelligence?
Buddhi yoga, intelligence will also transform into spiritual.
How?
Krishna will give buddhi yoga.
Krishna will give like that? because Krishna likes you so much. Yeah. Teshang shatata yuktanam bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi jogam tam yena mam upajantite. Shatata yuktanam. Shatata means all the time. Yuktanam is engaged. When one becomes constantly engaged in bhajatang priti purvakam, loving with love, one renders devotional service to Krishna, then the intelligence is transformed into buddhi yoga, because Krishna gives the buddhi yoga. Right? And then what happens to the false ego? There won't be any false ego. Okay. Is that a good conclusion? That false ego part we just discussed today, when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna, what happens? Jivir Sarupai. So when you become a servant of Krishna, then what happens? What happens to your false ego? Your false ego becomes spiritualized. You become situated in your pure spiritual identity. What happened to your subtle body? Then the subtle body is no more there. Subtle body has become spiritualized. The subtle body doesn't die. Subtle body can be spirit transformed or spiritualized. So when the subtle body is spiritualized in this way, then what happens? Then there is no subtle body. There is no subtle body. Then the pure spirit soul is in the gross body. He is in a gross body, but that gross body doesn't have any subtle body. What does it have? It has a pure spirit soul. And that stage is called liberation. Swarupena Devastiti. He has become situated in his Swarupa. So that stage is then called Swarup Siddhi. That stage at that time is called Swarup Siddhi. So what is the meaning of Swarup Siddhi? One is already situated in his Swarup, but he is here in his gross body. Then is this gross body gross body? Is it a material body? What kind of body is that? That gross, apparently gross body is spiritualized. The gross body is spiritualized. How? Just as in contact of fire, iron becomes red hot. When the iron is red hot, is it iron or fire? Very good. So in contact with the pure spirit soul, the apparently gross material body is spiritualized. And that is the situation of a pure devotee. A pure devotee may be within us, among us, apparently in his gross body, but that is not gross body. He is there, a pure spirit soul, in his spiritual identity, dwelling in that pure spiritual body. So, so now I understood what mukti is. And Nirodha, we understood Nirodha already? Or should we discuss Nirodha a little more? Nirodha or winding up of the cosmic manifestation. So how is the cosmic manifestation? How is it wound up? When all the living entities are withdrawn in the body of Mahavishnu at the time of annihilation. Then the material nature becomes unmanifest. The elements are there, but it's not manifest. Like they are there in the form of, then they merge also actually. The five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, these are the five elements. The five elements then merge into Mahatattva. And in the dormant stage, that Mahatattva, the Prakriti, just remains there. All the basic ingredients of the material creation just is there, but it is not there. Because no one is there to witness it. So, so you understood every, how many did we cover so far?
Nine.
Okay. Who can tell me what's the first one? First one is? Sthana. I'm sorry. Yeah. And the second one? Visarga. Sarga. Then Visarga. Then the third one? Sthanam. Then fourth one? Fifth one? Sixth one? Seventh one? Eighth one? Ninth one? Very good. So you have already covered all this? Perfectly understood them? And what you are left with? So we'll discuss about that tomorrow. Okay. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Paru. Ishanukatha. Oh, Ishanukatha is the activities of the Lord in different incarnations. And His glorification, like as we mentioned yesterday or day before yesterday?
Yesterday.
The Ishanukatha, Bhagavatam, that's the main aspect of Purana. Describes about the Lord, His activities along with His devotees. So there are various, there are innumerable incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do you know, did you hear about Lord Nrisingadev? Yeah? What did you hear? Where did you hear? From Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Or Purana. So, this is the aspect of Ishanukatha. Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee of the Lord. Ishanukatha is describing the activities of the Lord and His great devotees. So, Prahlad Maharaj was one such great devotee. And Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu. The great demon. So what does the demon want? Demon wants to become God. So whenever somebody says that he is God but he is not God, who he actually is? He's a demon. Right? So these demons are in a very great competition. And conflict with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They can't stand the Supreme. They can't stand Krishna. Because they think that Krishna is coming on the way of their success. They want to become God. And look at this boy. A poor village boy from Vrindavan. Can't even dress properly. Is not cultured, is not educated, didn't even go to school. This boy is my competitor. Who am I? What does he think himself to be? They don't know. He doesn't know who I am. And look at all these foolish people. They think that he is God. Can't they see that I am God? Because I am so big, I am so educated, I am so powerful, I am so wealthy. So then they get into conflict with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then what happens? Then they think that, well, I will challenge God and kill Him. So this big demon Kamsa invited Krishna to a wrestling match in his house, in his palace. And this wrestling match was between a 14-year-old boy, Krishna, and a huge giant, Chanura and Mushtika, two huge giants. And these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, are supposed to wrestle with them. And then what happened? Everybody started to protest. How is it possible? How can wrestling is between two equals? But why this little boy, if you see Kartik in a wrestling in a wrestling arena with Dara Singh, how will you feel? Kartik has to fight against Dara Singh. Little boy, our Kartik I'm talking about. But then what did this little boy say? Don't worry, I'll take care. And then they wrestle. At times it seemed that this little boy is losing and they're beating him so bad. But then what does the little boy do? This little boy jumps up on the big demon and he starts to beat him up. And he kills him. Then other wrestlers came out. All big giants. These two little boys, Krishna and Balaram, took care of all those big giants. Then what did Krishna do? Kamsa was watching the wrestling match from a high platform. So Krishna jumps up into the high platform, grabs Kamsa by his hair. First of all, he actually slapped him. And when he slapped him, his crown went flying. And the Kshatriyas used to have long hair. So he grabbed him by his hair and he dragged him into the arena. Dragged him from that high platform into the arena. And then Krishna started to punch him. And poor Kamsa, his life air left his body. Then Kamsa's brothers came and attacked. But Krishna and Balaram took care of them. How do you like this drama? Isn't it exciting? Drama, as you know, must have conflict. A drama must have a hero and villain or villains. And what does the hero do? Hero defeats the villains. And more the conflict, more the excitement. And more it seems that the hero is going to lose, but eventually he wins, more exciting it becomes. So, this is what is Ishanu Katha. The biggest hero is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the hero of all time. He is the hero of all time. Because he has all the qualities of a hero. He is the most handsome. He is the most powerful. He is the most wealthy. He is the most learned. He is the most famous, and although he has all these opulences, he is not at all attached to anything. Therefore, we worship that hero. We don't go for these Bollywood heroes or heroines. They are just some cheap skits. In their real life, sometimes I've seen, I used to feel so surprised actually when I was young. I had some exposure to some film actors and actresses. And some actors I would see that they are, in the film they would look so handsome, so beautiful, so powerful and so majestic. But in their real life I would see them just like, just like some not even ordinary, less than ordinary people. So So, and even if they're famous, for how long? The other day I was thinking of one big time Bollywood hero who is now old, but at one time he was a big hero. Everybody used to worship him. And in last 20-30 years he has become old. He has become bald. But so he wears wigs. Because he looks so comical actually. Can you imagine if a 70-year-old man is trying to look like a 16-year-old boy? How will he look? He was looking like a clown actually. Like, yes, when he was young, he was very handsome. He was very handsome, very... But with time, what happened? His body, youthful body now became old. But he doesn't want to think that he has become old. Or he doesn't want to show that he is still thinking that he is like a young boy. But our hero never becomes old. He has been there for thousands of years. Last time he acted was 5,000 years ago. And he still looks the same. And not only that, as he changes his role, his form also changes and assumes such beautiful form. To deal with the demons, he assumes different forms. This demon, Hiranyakashipu, he had a boon that no man, no animal, no demigod, nobody would be able to kill him. So our hero, what did he do? He's so smart, he's so wise, he said, okay, no man will kill you, no animal will kill you, so I'll become half man, half animal. So I'll be neither man nor an animal. And in that way, he came and killed him. And there was a condition, no weapon would be able to kill him. He won't be killed by any weapon. Then he said, fine, no weapon. I'll kill you by my nails. So with his nails, he tore his body open. So this is our hero. Can anyone match our hero?
No.
Never. So this is the Ishanu Katha. Okay? The spiritual body is there, but when the spiritual body, as I said, now, okay, good point. Maybe actually I should have elaborated on that and explained the complete thing. The spiritual body shrinks into a spark. Why? Because the spiritual body is not active in the spiritual way. What does the spiritual body do? What is the business of the spiritual body? To serve Krishna. So when one stops to serve Krishna, then does he need the hands? Does he need the legs? Does he need the head? Does he need the stomach? No? So, Krishna says, okay, you don't need them. So you just lose all your body. And he becomes a tiny little spiritual spark. Right? And the spiritual spark gives out consciousness in the subtle and gross body, through the subtle and gross body. But then, when that spirit soul begins to serve Krishna, then what happens? Then he needs the hands, then the hands appear. Right? He needs legs, his legs appear. Right? He needs stomach, his stomach appears. He needs his head appears. Actually, it appears, like let us consider how it appears. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Bush, Siddha. How does it appear? The first thing we need, what do we do first? We chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram Ram. In order to chant, what do you need? You need the tongue. Right? So a tongue appears. Right? Then you want to taste prasad. Then the mouth appears. Right? And in this way, the spiritual body begins to grow. And ultimately, the full-fledged body becomes manifest through rendering devotional service. That's why rendering service is so important. Right? No, gross body is separate. Gross body is separate. Gross body is there, but within that gross body, by engaging the gross body, the subtle body develops. Right? While you are rendering service with your gross body, you get the feel how it is like to render service to Krishna. Then what happens? The subtle body develops. And the subtle body will develop according to our original spiritual identity. Irrespective of the gross body. Yes, Arati?
Maharaj, I once spoke to someone who said that he cannot remember his previous birth. And in his next birth, he will not remember this birth. So why should he follow any spiritual path? I want to ask, memory, does it continue with the subtle body to the next life, or does it die off with the body?
It will depend. Like, for example, in many cases, when one is engaged in his spiritual activities, one remembers his previous life and activities in the previous life. Wonderful example is King Bharat. Although he was born as a deer in his next life, he was a Jatismara. Jatismara means one who remembers his previous life. So there are instances when one can remember his previous life. Like, even what to speak of a human being, even as a deer, he could remember his previous life. And he acted accordingly. He learned his lesson for attachment, and he decided, even as a deer, he decided, no attachment to this material nature, no attachment to anybody whatsoever. I learned my lesson. Right? And as a result of that, he is born in his next life as Jarabharat. And there also, he learned, once bitten, twice shy. I'm not going to make the same mistake. Although born in an exalted family, in a Brahmana family, must have been very handsome, very talented, but he started to pretend as if he is retarded. And this is how a devotee can. It's up to, devotee doesn't really desire anything on his own. Lives that up to Krishna. What Krishna knows, Krishna knows. Krishna knows what is needed for him. And Krishna arranges for that. Sometimes Krishna may give him matta smritir gyanam apohanam cha. I give the memory and I also steal the memory. So I may not remember what will happen to my next life. In my next life, I may not remember my this life. But if I act in a right way in this life, then the result will be there in the next life. And the prayer is that, Krishna, please never ever allow me to forget you. That is the prayer of a devotee. Let me come back again and again, but bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. That I can come as a devotee. I don't mind. Janmani, janmani, shari. Even if I have to take birth again and again and again, it doesn't matter. All I want is to remember you life after life. That's the prayer of a devotee. And this is a very stupid argument. I don't know who gave it to you. That I don't remember my past life and I won't remember my next life, this life in my next life. So why worry about rendering devotional service? I don't remember who I am when I'm asleep, then why go to sleep? You get the point? Why sleep? But can you stay without sleeping? Isn't sleeping so wonderful? Although it's forgetful, although I don't remember anything at that time. Sleep is so wonderful, especially now that it's so cold. We don't even... we don't want to even come to Mangala Arati. Yeah, right. That's what I said. मुक्ति और भक्ति के बीच में अच्छा इसका ओ कौन सी भाषा में बोल रहे हो हाँ तुम अगर हिंदी में बोलोगे तो मैं हमको भी हिंदी में जवाब देने का इरादा होता है अच्छा मुक्ति और भक्ति में अंतर क्या है व्हाट्स द डिफरेंस बिटवीन लिबरेशन एंड डिवोशन लिबरेशन actually means to become free from all material tendency and become situated in our spiritual identity. And that can be achieved only through devotion. So the real liberation is achieved through devotion. Whereas sometimes people misunderstand liberation to be free from material bondage. And they think that if I can become free from material bondage, I'll become free. But that is not real liberation. For example, if a prisoner thinks that if I can get out of the prison, I'll become free. So he digs a tunnel out of the prison. And he gets out of the prison. Has he become really free? Although he is out of the prison, he is not free. Now, on the other hand, there is another prisoner. He realized what his mistake is, why he is in the prison. He realizes that because he disobeyed the order of the king, that's why he is in the prison. So, now he decides, I will not disobey the king. So he begins to obey the king. So, although he is in the prison, because he is obeying the king, all the king's men are seeing him, he is obeying the orders of the king. So what do? They report to the king that this person is very good. He is improving. Right? And then the king also tells them, okay, keep me informed about him. And then the prison authorities keep on informing the king every week. He is doing this, he is doing that for the king. And then finally the king becomes very pleased and he said, okay, let him out of the prison. I need some good servant. And let him come to my palace. So when he comes to the palace, what does he do? Does he become the king? He continues to serve the king. Right? So what he had been doing in the prison, even after being liberated, being out of the prison, he continues to do that. So that is the thing about devotion. Even it is executed when you are conditioned, when you are imprisoned, and you continue to do that even after you are free. So what will you do? Dig the tunnel?
No.
Out of the prison?
No.
What will you do? Who is the king?
Krishna.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay. All glories to Shiva.